lights out for the devil and Mr. O. It is later than you think. Turn out your lights now. We bring you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly so that if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now. This is Mr. O. Arch Obler. Have you ever stopped to consider that the plot of the husband, the wife, and the lover has been with us longer than most of us care to think? That's what our story is about tonight. But we begin after a short pause.
NAACP, NAACP. Say it either way, the initials still stand for the nation's strongest, oldest, most vital, and most respected civil rights organization. Remember, it was the NAACP which persuaded President Truman to desegregate the armed forces. NAACP persistence secured the Supreme Court decision ending segregation in public schools. NAACP engineered the historic civil rights bills of the 60s. And today, among other things, it is actually feeding thousands of indigent black folk across the nation. If we are ever to achieve a single society, the massive strength of this organization must be maintained and enlarged. Won't you join the 500,000 black and white Americans fighting for justice and equal opportunity? NAACP, NAACP. Every day it works for you. Won't you work for it? Join your local branch today.
And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to The Shrinking People.
Keep moving along. Keep moving along, ladies and gentlemen. Keep moving. There ain't no light from here. Keep moving.
Hey, officer. What's going on in the hall? What's the blooming attraction?
Read the signs, my man. Read the signs.
Huh? Oh. The great Peter Stransky, world-famous explorer, appearing in person in lecture on headhunters of the Amazon. Go, Brian.
Move along, fella. Move along.
Oh, hello, officer. Will you tell a bloke what that headhunting is referring to? Who's hunting it?
Now, look here. You're obstructing traffic. It's lecturing the man is. Lecturing on these heathen tribes that hunt their neighbor's heads. Now, move along, man. Move along, or I'll take you in.
Gentlemen, now you know the story of these strange motion pictures I have shown you this evening. For the first time in history, motion pictures taken of the lower Brazilian region. Someday soon, I hope to return to Brazil and bring back more cinematic records of the customs of these almost legendary savages, including actual specimens of heads and bodies taken and preserved in their bloodthirsty wars. When that day comes, I hope you will be as kind to me as you have been this evening. And so, good night until we meet again.
Excellent lecture, Stransky, excellent.
Yes, it went very well indeed.
Complete sellout. That headhunting theme meant excellent publicity in all the papers, you know.
Yes, yes, of course. Now, if you'll pardon me, my wife...
Oh, but my dear Stransky, autographs.
They paid to listen to my lecturing and see my motion pictures, not to get my autograph. I'm sorry, my wife, she will be waiting
and I... Oh, come, come, don't worry about her. She's well taken care of.
Eh? What are you talking about?
I just passed her backstage, and she had a handsome young gentleman having quite a tete-a-tete, don't you know?
You will pardon me.
John.
Oh. Oh, come now, Ellen, you must do it.
Oh, but John, that's ridiculous. Who ever heard of such a silly thing?
I did, and that's why I'm telling it to you.
Well, I won't listen to another word. I really won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, I won't.
If I might be so bold as to interrupt.
Oh, Peter, it's you.
I'm sorry to interrupt your most interesting conversation, my dear wife, but we must go.
But, Peter, we...
Come, I said. The automobile is waiting.
But I... Very well, Peter. Good night, John.
Good night, Ellen.
Come. Get into the car, Ellen.
Why don't you say something, Peter?
Yes. Yes, I will say something.
This.
Well, why don't you speak? Why don't you cry?
I wouldn't give you the satisfaction.
So, you save your tears for him, too. Say something.
I'm leaving you, Peter.
Leaving me? What are you talking about?
I spoke clearly enough. I'm leaving you.
Don't be a fool.
I'm trying not to be. That's why I'm leaving you. I should have done it a long time ago.
You'll go to him.
No, I'm going to divorce you first, Peter.
Divorce?
I won't have any difficulty about that, I'm sure.
No, never a divorce for me, never.
You'll have no choice. Please stop the car.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Ellen.
I'm sorry for you, Peter.
No. I'm sorry for you. And him. Come in, Ellen. Come in. And you too, young man.
What do you want of us, Peter?
It was very kind of you two to come here and join me tonight.
You said it was important, Strensky. What is...
His life. Perhaps the fault was largely mine. I was not a very good husband.
You're acting very decently about all this, Mr. Strensky. All I can say is I love Ellen very much.
And you love him, Ellen?
Yes, Peter.
If we could arrange matters quickly, I mean the divorce and all that sort of thing.
Of course. I just said we are together like civilized human beings. And now, if you'll excuse me, I will close the door. The servant, you know.
He's acting surprisingly well about it all, Ellen.
I'm not so sure, John.
Oh. Now what I have to say, I say in complete privacy.
Peter, just why did you want John and me here?
I want you to waive dower rights.
Oh, just as you wish.
Excellent. So here is the legal form as drawn up by my solicitor. I assure you it's quite in order. You will sign first, young man.
Me?
Yes. Yes, as a witness, you understand?
Oh, very well. My pen.
No. Use this one, please. Here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, John, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Just a scratch, the pen point.
Oh, I'm so clumsy.
John,
it's nothing, really. See, the pen point hardly broke the skin.
Yes, but it did break the skin.
Why, yes, John. You see, a drop of blood.
Oh, it's nothing at all. Just a scratch. Unimportant.
Why did you laugh like that, Peter? What's wrong?
You feel something, John?
What?
A constriction between the eyes, perhaps?
Peter.
Or maybe a strange pounding of the heart?
Peter...
Or perhaps, John, your vision blurs. You hear strange sounds in your ears. Eh, great lover?
Peter, answer me. What have you done? John, are you all right? Tell me, are you all right?
I don't know. My head is so strange.
John, tell me, have you done something to him? Have you? John, look at me, darling. Speak to me. Tell me what's the matter.
Yes.
John.
Yes, speak, John.
Eleanor,
John! Peter, help me. He's fallen. Peter, help me. Help me.
Help you?
But, John, look at him. Look at him. He's ill, dying. Doctor, get a doctor.
Not a doctor, my little wife. Doctors cannot restore even great lovers after the poison of Barakata has entered the veins.
Poison? That pen? That scratch?
Ellen, you must... So, the thought of your lover's death draws the blood from your head and you faint, eh, my little wife? When you awaken, you will wish that you... died with him. Ah, you are awake again. You are bound in a chair. It is most discourteous of me, I know, but then, as you may remember, I always was a barbarian.
John. John.
You will keep your voice down.
John. You've got to tell me. Where is he? Why am I down here? John's not dead. He can't be dead. He's there on that table. Under the sheet. Not John.
Yes, John.
John, you've killed him. Let me loose. Let me go to him.
Stop that.
John.
Stop making that noise, you mad woman. Stop it. Stop it, I say. All right, I'll stop you then. I'll stop you. All right. There, my little boy. Scream, yell, rave all you want. This gag over your mouth serves its purpose well. Go on. Go on, you amuse me. So, now you have discovered it is useless to talk to the gag, eh, Ellen? It is such a waste of effort, is it not? So now that you are silent, I can go on with my work. Most important work. Yes, you were right about what was on this table here. See? I throw off the sheet. And he was such a handsome man. Well, I must get to work. Why, you no longer try to speak, my little Ellen. Does the sight of these beautiful surgical instruments frighten you? They need not. They're not for you. They are for John. Yes, he is dead. Dead. The poison too quickly, but do you think I would let him rest in death? Oh, no. I loved you, Ellen. And as I loved you, I hate you. Watch closely. What? I'm sorry, I cannot understand you. Oh, you ask me what I'm going to do. The knives, sharp knives, you see them? No, they are not to dismember your precious John. Flesh buried, decays, and is gone. I want your dear John with me for a long time. Again, you ask the question. I'm trying so hard to explain. He's dead and he will be dead. But in his death, he will serve a purpose. You remember I told you my savage Brazilian friends, the Yavaros, have a quaint custom of shrinking and preserving the bodies of their enemies. Well, I studied their methods most carefully. John Douglas was my enemy. Here he lies. And I will do with him as the Yavaros do with their enemies. So, now you understand. When I'm through with him, your lover will be a little leathery-skinned man, a doll-like in size, a trophy for my trophy room. Who will suspect that in that little leathery doll-like figure is the body of an Englishman? And so he will amuse me in his death. Yes. And you will sit there, my little wife. You will sit in that chair for the many days it will take me to prepare the carcass. You will sit and watch me day after day as with smoke and with heat I make the strong body of your lover smaller and smaller. You will sit there.
We leave our The Devil and Mr. O story of the shrinking people for a short message.
When you've got a family to feed, there are ways to cut high food costs. And we'd like to tell you an economical, tasty way to serve top-quality meat dishes. Today's answer is high-protein ham, H-A-M, Krakus and Atalanta imported Polish ham. When you buy Krakus or Atalanta Polish ham, there's no waste, no gristle or bone to throw away, and no water added. It's all lean, flavorful ham, down to the last tasty bit. You can even use the small amount of jellied broth to make soups more nourishing or to create delicious gravies. And ham is also perfect for breakfast, lunch, snacks, and parties. It's the easiest food you can prepare because Polish ham is fully cooked when you buy it. So if you wish, just zip open the tin, slice, serve, and enjoy from end to end. In these days of high food prices, ham is understandably in great demand by economical housewives. So you may find that your favorite market is temporarily out of certain sizes of this fine imported Polish ham. Shipments are now on the way. Thank you for your patience.
And now back to our The Devil and Mr. O story.
Fire is warm. Hell, warm, so very warm. The air filled with smoke. Dry, swirling smoke. See how it coils around him. At first, how often you cried out when I talked like this, but now you're silent. Weeks. How many weeks has it been? 4, 5, 6... It used to take my savage friends 10 weeks to dry and cure the bodies of their enemies. 10 weeks. And I have done it in 5. Look at him. 6 foot strong and broad he was, but now a doll in size, a small brown doll. Oh, what weary days they've been, filling the body full of sand and slowly turning, turning in the smoke and the heat, not too quickly, not too slowly, not too close to the flames. And now, the man that was John Douglas, a doll, a brown doll of death. The flames are noisy. Noisy as you are silent, little Ellen. You are... Oh, I hadn't noticed. Your eyes are closed. Wake up. Wake up! Wake up, I say. You've got to look at him. Your eyes have got to see him. You've got to see him. You're speaking. I cannot understand you. The gag, yes. Yes, I will take it off. Sitting there all these weeks, you haven't got the strength. There, that does it. Your lips are free. Well, look at him, Ellen. Look at him and tell me what you think of John Douglas now.
Smoke twisting and twisting round him. Smoke is taking him. Where is he gone?
Ellen!
Where is he gone?
Ellen!
Smoke. I'll go to him in the smoke. He's waiting.
Ellen, stop.
Smoke,
stop, you hear? Understand. You must
smoke,
understand.
Smoke, you wait for me.
Smoke. What are you raving about?
Yes, smoke. See how it curls around him.
No.
He's waiting.
No, stop talking like that. Stop talking like that, I say.
He's waiting.
The knife, where is the knife?
No.
I'll stop you now. Ellen, I... All right. Dead. Up on the... table with you. Yeah. I must prepare you, Ellen, for the smoke and the fire. It took me 5 weeks with him, and now 5 more weeks with you. And then you will be as he is, brown with the smoke of the curing fire. A little doll in size.
Cayans of Borneo and the Celebes are not the only savage tribes which indulged in this most curious pastime of collecting human heads as trophies. In my travels in far-off places, I have come across at least 20 other races who participate in this strange custom.
Let's get out of here, Mamie. What it means is dry as dust. Oh, but who cares about Ed Hunt and men and the likes of that? Let's get out of here and go to a cinema. Quiet.
Oh,
all right.
And they went raiding and killing their enemies, generally in nocturnal surprises. These savages severed the heads of the dead and returned with them to their villages. Members of the tribe believe their rank in the next world depends upon the number of heads secured. But, unquestionably, the most curious custom is found among the Yavaros of South America, who not only sever the heads of their enemies, but also are known to shrink the bodies of the dead until they are small, almost doll-like in size. These bodies are kept in the large huts and treasured highly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a surprise for you. In my recent trip to South America and my visit to the Hierros, at great personal risk, I was able to procure two of the macabre specimens. Yes, I have here in this trunk the shrunken bodies of two full-sized human beings. That is, at one time they were full-sized, but now they are the size of large dolls. A man and a woman, ladies and gentlemen, perfectly preserved. The only specimens of their kind in existence outside of the sultry jungles of South America. Never before have they been seen or displayed upon the lecture platform, but tonight I am going to show them to you.
Now you make your public debut, my two beauties. Aaron and John, a new sensation of the lecture stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you please, if you please, presenting two perfect specimens, the only ones of their kind, of the secret process which enables the savages of the jungles of South America to reduce their enemies to doll-like size. Here we have a living man, about 6 foot in size during his lifetime, now reduced to midget size. And likewise, here a woman, once a living, breathing individual like you and you and you, now this horrible trophy of the curer's art.
You see, Ellen and John, they like you. You are a success. A huge success.
You're
talking.
No. No, you cannot talk. Dad, you cannot talk. No. You cannot talk. You're dead. You're both of you dead. Stop talking. Stop. Stop.
Sure, Captain, it's a strange passenger we got aboard this time, I must say.
Oh, you mean Strensky? Aye, strange he is, mate.
But what's he running away from, sir?
Oh, sure, mate, that ain't a proper question to be asking of a man when he lays as many pound notes on the table as that man did for this passage. Get me out of England tonight, he said. And get him out of England, I did.
Now, could he be one of them embezzlers?
Oh, aye, that he might. The trunk he was carrying, well, he wouldn't let any of the men lay a hand on it. He brought it down to the cabin himself.
I'd like to get a look in it.
Aye, and so would I. But he stays in that cabin of his all the time. He's down there now, and I'll bet he's looking in that trunk this very night.
The cabin door is locked. No one can come in when the door is locked. It's going to stay locked until we get there. South America, they won't get me there. No one will get me there. Why did I run away? What's the matter with me? No one heard them but I. No one in that audience but I. They're in that trunk there. The two of them. Why don't I find out now if no one heard them but I? Why don't I? For sure. Yes, I must. No, they couldn't have talked, not they. The two of you lying there. You didn't talk, did you? No. No, of course you didn't. You're dead. You're more than dead. Hollow flesh shrunk by the smoke of heat until you're smoky little dolls. Aaron and John, I'm free of you forever. Forever. You. Aaron. Thing that was Aaron. Why don't you say something? Again, I heard you again, the two of you, I heard you.
You murderer.
No.
Murderer.
Stop it.
Murderer.
Stop it.
Murderer.
Stop it. Stop it, you little things. You can't speak. You're dead, burned in the flames. Stop it. All right, I'll stop you. I'll stop you. Into the sea. I'll throw you into the sea. Come, you and you. I've got you in my hands. I'll throw you into the sea. First, you, Aaron. Into the water. There. And now you, John, into the sea. The sea will stop that tongue of yours. There. There. Now I'm through with you. Through with you. The water will stop your mouth. It stopped it. I'm free of you forever. The two of you forever.
What's the matter?
The matter? Oh, what do you mean, Captain? Nothing is the matter.
Well, I thought I saw you throw something in the water. In fact, I'm sure of it.
Oh, just some old things. Yes, that's it. Some old things I didn't want.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as everything's all right.
Yes. Everything's all right. No.
It is a weird night, isn't it?
Weird? Why do you say that, man?
Yeah, it's so dark. No moon, not a star in the sky. It's like we were sailing into the black of a tomb without even candlelight to lead us. You know, if I was a superstitious... What in the devil's name is that?
What? What are you talking about?
There, to starboard, see? Two lights. Take it, what lights are those?
They're coming closer.
Starship lights? No, that can't be. Why, I've sailed these waters for 15 years.
It's they.
What?
The two of them, their faces. See them gleaming faces. Alan, John, get back. Back to the water I threw you in. Back.
Krensky, what's come over you? Back. Stop leaning over the rail. You'll fall in. You'll fall in, man. Watch out!
Help! I fell in! Help me! Here! I'm here! Save me! Save me!
Stay afloat!
Yes, I'll stay afloat. They'll save me. I won't die. I won't. They'll save me.
No, Peter.
Take his other arm, Evan. I have his legs.
No. Let go of me. Let go.
Come, Strensky.
Join us.
No, stop. Alan, John, the two of you, stop. You're pulling me under. Drowning me.
Well, I told you this would be a different lover, wife, husband situation. And let me just reassure you, if you see a doll that looks like someone else, maybe it is one of the shrinking people.
Hello, this is Angela Lansbury. Won't you jump on the bandwagon with me? This bandwagon is rolling towards a happier tomorrow. During the past year, more concerned people than ever before shared the work of Save the Children Federation. They made it possible for thousands of underprivileged children to receive help. These children did not receive alms. They and their families and communities were helped to help themselves and were given hope and a new outlook through community development, sponsorship, scholarship, and other impetus programs. You too can start a child, his family, and his community on the road to productive independence. Federation programs are expanding on American Indian reservations, in Appalachia, and in many developing countries abroad. Add your name to the growing list of supporters. Contribute to Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017.
It is later than you think.